Barb and I are celebrating our 38th year as pastors here at New Life Assembly. I have no idea where all that time went, and I just know that God is faithful. God is faithful, and God is good. Somewhere in there, I quit asking the question, when is it that a boy becomes a man, and started asking the question, when is it a man becomes a senior citizen? But it's all kind of a blur in there. When we first came, we traveled across Pennsylvania in the smallest U-Haul that we could rent. And even that, we could only manage to fill up about halfway full. When I was thinking about all these old times, Barb and I's first apartment when we were in Missouri was a utility apartment, they called it. The bed came out of the wall like that. And I was thinking back, and I remember us struggling with signing the lease because we weren't sure we could afford the rent on that little apartment. Believe it or not, it costs $140 to rent that apartment every month. But God is faithful. He helped us to come up with it, and there we went on through. But we had everything we owned in this little truck pulled behind a very used car, had a toddler in tow, and just a couple hundred dollars in the bank. And came to what they called a pioneer work in those days, a home missions work. We had on our hearts to go where no man has gone before and start a church. Now, this one was already started, and there were some things that had come together. But we had it in mind. We just wanted to go see God do what he says he could do and what others said that he had done for them. Kind of the difference between watching somebody on a roller coaster and actually getting on a roller coaster and saying, okay, God, this is what you said. Let's see it. Now, if looking back on those days, I can imagine that we about gave our parents a heart attack. You're going where and to do what? You've got a little kid now, you know. This isn't just about the two of you. You know, you got to feed Josh and all those kinds of things. And let's just step out. You'll never know the adventure of obeying the Lord and finding out all that he has for you. Now, I know we all think we want the sure and steady life, always have enough in savings to cover any kind of an emergency that might come up. But where's the thrill in that? You know, where's the thrill in that? How can faith grow without the manure of life? Loss teaches us how to cherish those that remain. And when provision appears nowhere to be found, and yet you always have enough, it brings us to mind of what today's faith fact is. God provides for me. God provides for me. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord who has this day, has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Lord, as we look into this story this morning, we're going to take, a half hour to talk about a whole lifetime and more. But in that little bit of time, may we squeeze out the juice, the nectar of what it was like to be in those moments of pain and suffering, those moments of thrill and victory, and take away a sense that we're not off track. Actually, you've been watching over every step we've made, and it's okay because you will always provide for us. You always have, and you always will. And whatever chasm it looks like we need to clear next, we can do it because you are with us. So help us with that. Build that in us. Make it part of our DNA, our fabric. As soon as the enemy blows that chilly wind across our soul, may the warmth of the Holy Spirit fire up. And we be reminded we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The name of the book is Ruth, of course, but it could easily be named Naomi because she's kind of the central figure in all of this. There was this little family living in Israel, Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. Mahlon and Chilion were their two sons. They lived on a little piece of property and everything was going swimmingly. They were serving the Lord and life was good. Then a famine hit and it got harder and harder and harder to live. Finally, they had a meeting around the kitchen table and they discussed it among themselves. If we stay here, we're going to die. It was an agricultural economy. Everything depended on the crops. You wanted to have a job, you were either planting the crops or harvesting the crops or selling the crops or transporting the crops. It all had to do with crops. And there were no crops. So you didn't have enough that you could eat and you couldn't go find a job that would help sustain your family. They decided we need to move. Where are we going to go? Well, I hear that things are well over there in Moab. We don't like the Moabites. I knew a Moabite once, and and then Moses told everybody, don't you be making any treaties with Moabites. They didn't treat us right, and this and that. And so it was a hard choice for them to walk across the line and go to find a place where they could live for a little while in a foreign land. They get to Moab, and I'm sure they were thinking right off the bat, well, we'll be here a year, two at the top. So I'm sure the famine will be over by then. We'll be able to come back home and it's all going to be good. But 1 year turned into the next, into the next. And they were there for 10 years. And somewhere in there, their little boys were growing up and they got an eye for some of the Moabite girls and, went to the high school dance together and one thing led to another. And they got married. Mahlon and Chilion married Ruth and Orpah. And they're beginning to put down roots. They never intended to put the roots down in the first place, but this is where they ended up. They are people that love God. They had served the Lord, but life was not turning out the way that they had imagined that it would. It wasn't turning out the way everybody promised that it was supposed to. When you're faithful to God, God is faithful to you, and life goes from good to better, and everybody's happy, and it's all good, right? Well, no. The place where God supposedly blesses is in famine. And here in a pagan place, there's provision. Anybody want to explain that one to me? The promised land, God said, I'm going to, and they called it the land of flowing with milk and honey. Well, the milk and honey had run out. It was a place of famine right now. That's where God Most High is served. But there's famine. Now they're over in Moab, where they serve a pagan god, an idol. It's all wrong. It's all convoluted. These people do not have the moral foundation that the Israelites do. And so they're living among a bunch of people who just don't even live right. But they're doing really well. They're eating well. Their economy is strong. And your world ever get turned upside down? You're doing what you know is right to do. You were taught this. It says it in the Word. You're doing your best to follow God. And you find yourself in places you never thought you would. You married yourself a Christian young man or young lady. Stayed faithful. Faithful to church, to one another, to the Lord. And you find out you ended up getting a divorce. And you're pinching yourself trying to think, what went wrong here? I played it by the book and... Or maybe you took pretty good care of your health. Everybody else is eating what they shouldn't be eating and doing some stuff like, smoking, drinking, whatever. They're messed up. Well, what did you expect? But you were doing what you were supposed to be doing. And then you get this diagnosis and you go, wait a second. But I was taking care of myself and I thought everything was supposed to, you know, if you do good, good will result, right? That's the way life is supposed to work. Or maybe you were the guy that always was first one at work. You opened up in the morning and you were the most conscientious over all the things that were going on. Other people took jobs other places, but you stayed with that company and you were spot on all the time. And now you're laid off. And you're going, now, wait a second. No, I did the boss's daughter-in-law is now the boss and I am out of a job. And this doesn't seem to make sense. You're in a place. You don't know how you ended up here, really. I mean, you could think about it and connect the dots, but this isn't the way life is supposed to go. It's not supposed to happen like this. And you can begin to feel like you've been forsaken by God. Like, did I do something wrong? Or did I believe the wrong thing? Let me encourage you a little bit today. Think about some of the Bible characters that we so appreciate. Oh, let's pull one out of the air. Joseph, nice young man, doing everything good. What happened to him? Oh, yeah, sold as a slave into Egypt, right? And then he was doing pretty good. He got put in prison for something he didn't do. And, yeah, okay. Daniel, now there's an upstanding citizen. They said, if you pray, you know, we throw people in the lion's den and pray. He prayed, they threw him in the lion's den. You know, that must have been a hard night. If you find yourself in circumstances you never thought you would be here, in fact, you expected far better, you're in good company. And God hasn't lost sight of you. In fact, you're probably right on point. So here's Elimelech and Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, Ruth, and Orpah. They're all living in Moab. Longer than they thought they were going to be here, but it's okay. They've got their feet about them now. I don't know how they made it. I don't know if all four of them went out, all six of them, and got jobs, whatever they could to bring enough in to make ends meet. Maybe Elimelech had some trade that traveled well. Maybe he was a blacksmith or a jeweler or something that he could do that elsewhere. I don't know. But they've landed on it was hard, but now it's better. Not really where we want to be, but it's okay. And then Elimelech is eliminated. He dies. And Naomi's like, whoa. And maybe it was even Elimelech's idea to move to Moab. You know, a jerk, he told us to come here and it's going to be okay. And now he's gone. And now what are we supposed to do? But you know, the good news is the boys have grown and now they're men. And they're married and they're bringing in a paycheck. And so it's not ideal, but it's stable. It's stable. Not ideal, but it's stable. It's going to be okay. Good. All right. Whew. But then, one boy after the other passes away. And Naomi finds herself looking across the room at two young ladies. She didn't even know 7 years ago. And this is her family. There's Naomi, there's Ruth, and there's Orpah. And just kind of trying to put it together in her head. Lord, how did I end up in Moab anyway? I remember going to Sabbath school when I was a kid, and I remember marrying Elimelech, and everything was pretty good, and we tithed, and we did all the right stuff, and now I'm a widow. I remember my sons. I miss them so dearly. That's not supposed to happen to people of faith, is it? That's not cool. Lord, are you done with me? Maybe you don't care. One more widow is in Moab. To get her out of Israel anyway, never did any good for us. Is that how you're feeling up there, Lord? And somewhere in that darkness, she makes a decision. I don't know how I ended up here, but I'm going home. She looks at her daughters-in-law and says, ladies, listen, you guys can go home to your family that you were raised in and start over. I'm going back to Israel. You got a lot of time yet. You're young yet. You can get remarried. There's a lot of hope for your future, but I'm done. I'm just done. She was neither wealthy enough nor strong enough to provide for herself. But she's just done. And she's not going to develop a new skill that she's going to be able to provide. And she owns a little bit of property. Maybe she can rent that out to a farmer and get a little bit of income off of that. She's probably got a little modest house on there. There'll be a place for her to exist for a while. It's not really safe for her to travel alone. You can imagine an older woman. It's not like they had police patrolling these dirt roads between these nations and foreigners hated one another and all that stuff. But she's just going to walk home by herself and find her field and kind of... You know what I wonder? I wonder if she wasn't going home to die. I wonder if she hadn't given up. And she really didn't want to die in Moab. She'd rather die at home and be buried with her extended family and everything else. And so she's cutting all the ties. She says to her two daughters-in-law, listen, you're better off here, so go do your thing. And don't you worry about me. I'll be fine. And if you come along with, what can I do for you? I can't raise any more boys that you're going to get married to and that kind of stuff. No, that's just silly. So you just go on home and I'll be all right. Well, Orpah took her up on the offer. Orpah decided, she crying and, you know, hard thing for everybody. But she thought, Naomi, you're right. I can have a future going back home. I really don't want to move to a foreign country and go through all that. So thank you for the release. God bless you. And Naomi, I don't know if I want to use the word bitter, but she's certainly severely disappointed. In fact, they called her Naomi, and she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. So I guess I could use the word. She used the word bitter, I'll use the word bitter. She's kind of bitter at this point. I went to Sabbath school. I did everything right. We paid our tithe. We, you know, got married when we were supposed to and all this. I married a good Jewish boy, and then we end up in Moab, and everybody's dead except for me. Oh, this stinks. You ever have a time in your life when life just stinks? That's not right. I don't like that. It feels like somebody's kicking you while you're down, and it's just hard. That's what she's going through. Naomi could not have imagined that God was working on her behalf the whole time. The whole time. God was in... Now, wait a second. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's what the scripture says. Doesn't it make sense that if God is for us, things are going to go well? I mean, if you're lining everybody up and let's say, oh, I don't know, you're playing soccer or football or even basketball... And you know, you get first pick, and everybody's lined up, and there's God. They say, oh, I want God on my team. How many think that's a pretty good pick? Yeah, I pick God. You think you got it made at that point, right? Next thing you know, both your legs are broken, and you're down by 80 points and everything. I say, and gee, I really thought if I had God on my team, it would go better than this. So you dated the right people and you married the right one and you followed the Lord the best you could. And you got in the middle of this thing and you said, how did we end up here? How did it get this hard? How is it that our kids suffer this much? Why is it this challenging to get along when we like each other? And it all just seems to press in. God was with them every single moment of what was going on. You see, She was playing a very important role in history that she wasn't privy to. Looking back at it, we can say, hang in there, Naomi, it'll be worth it. You're going to be part of the Messiah's story. You're playing a very important role in the middle of all this. Huh? She couldn't hear us from back there. And wouldn't it have been encouraging if the Lord hadn't just told her, now I know this is hard, but it really pays off wonderfully. That's the thing about faith. Faith is needed when you can't see, when you don't know. You just have to trust that somehow or other, whatever it is you're going through, God will use that for good. Because he promised to. I'm going to give this to you, God. I'm going to give you my life. And I'm going to trust you. And so, you're going to high school. And you're the only virgin in your class, and everybody's letting you know it. And you say, they seem to be having a better time than me. Nevertheless, I will trust that this is the way I should walk. You've got a job, and everybody else in your career is cutting some corners, and they seem to be doing better, and they're getting there faster, and you say, still I think that this is the way God would have me to walk. And other people in your family, they make fun of you because you tithe and so on and so forth, and you say, well, maybe they have a bigger house than me, and maybe they're getting there first or whatever, but I just still believe this is the way that I should walk. Now, looking back at Naomi's life, we can say, wow, this is pretty cool. You're part of the redemption story. You are going to go and get the grandmother of King David. That this is how this comes together. We wouldn't have had Ruth if it wasn't for you, Naomi. And we wouldn't have her if it didn't happen and everybody died and then you had to come back. And it just, wow, this is an amazing story. Yeah, when you're reading it, when you're looking at it, when you're living in it, not so much. It's pretty hard. And little did she know that she was worried. She's kind of like a pre-Mary. Remember, Mary said, how can this be that the Lord, you know, wow, I'm blessed to be chosen to carry the Messiah. Well, she's kind of like a pre-Mary. Because I'm told that all the young ladies in Israel had this dream that maybe their son would be the Messiah. They would bear the Holy One. And so they kept their lives right and they tried to do things the way it was supposed to be done. Hopefully, maybe God would choose them. Well, although Naomi wasn't one of the bearers, she brought the bearer to bear, as it were. And she was part of that story. But while it was happening, there's no way in the world, I don't think you could have convinced her, this is good. No, this stinks. No, this is good because God's really working out a great thing. I wish it splashed a little of that greatness this way. I mean, a famine, then everybody dies. And yeah, it's hard to believe from her standpoint that God's... But we don't even have to wait till the Messiah comes to see part of what God was doing here. Do you remember when David was a fugitive, Saul was mad at him and wanted to kill him, and David was the anointed next king, and Saul wanted to make sure that didn't happen, so he's chasing them all over Israel. Well, it got to a point where a lot of people had joined David, including his own family, and they're all running away from Saul. And it's hard to run away from an army when you're got your mom and dad along and all that kind of stuff. So do you remember where David took his parents for safekeeping? Moab. Now, Moab and Israel were often at war and all these things. Why was David's family safe in Moab when maybe other Israelites wouldn't have been? David was part Moabite. His grandmother's name was Ruth, and she was from Moab. And the only way we got Ruth back to Israel was through Naomi. And all that stuff, all that darkness, all that pain, all that suffering. And if we could have just told Naomi, darling, I know this is really hard, but your grandson is going to be king of Israel one of these days. Yeah, really, honest. And in order to preserve his life and the lives of his family, they're going to come to Moab and find safekeeping, all because you played this role right here. So I know it's hard for you right now. How many are willing to suffer for your family? If my kids would be better off because of it, bring it on. My grandkids would be blessed. Hallelujah. You know? I know you feel that way because you've had your grandkids overnight. More than once. Hey, if it'll help them, you know, I'm in. Trials often extend our borders, expand our horizons like nothing else. Had Naomi never gone to Moab, Ruth never gets to Israel. The lineage is all messed up. No. David doesn't have a place to hide his family. The Messiah didn't come in the right way. So you love the Lord with all your heart. You've served him all your life. You find yourself divorced and alone. But your borders have been expanded because you're able to reach out to other people who find themselves in the same circumstance and say, hey, I feel your pain. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. And I do understand you can do everything right and your life still get messed up. You might have buried somebody that you love very much, maybe a child, and it ripped your heart out and it stomped all over. But you find your borders have been expanded to where you can empathize with people like you could not before. Trials often extend our borders, expand our horizons. You worked your lifetime to build up a business, to provide for your family. It was good, and then it all went under. And you're just so broken because everything you worked for all your life, sacrificed for, is gone. But God will meet you there. And your borders are wider than they were before. And you'll be able to minister like you never knew before. There is a College of Hard Knocks. And it teaches us lessons to a deeper degree than you can learn anywhere else. Because once you've been through it, you not only know it, you feel it. And then when somebody else is telling you their story, they can look in your eyes and they know they've made a connection. Yes, I'm glad I'm sorry you've been through this, but knowing that somebody else is speaking my language, it just helps me to feel part of the community, to feel part of, God hasn't forsaken us. He is in this thing. If you were to ask Naomi, what are you guys doing in Moab? They would have said, well, survive. We didn't plan on moving here, but nothing's growing in Israel, and so there's food here. We came for the food. That's what they thought. They were surviving. God's reason for having them there was to fetch David's grandma and take her back to Israel. Now, I know what you're thinking. It could have been a lot easier if God would have just let them in and know why they were there. They could have just taken like a weekend and gone and got Ruth, you know, and bring her back. Nah. It all has a reason. It all has a purpose. It all works together. So let me ask you, are we ever unaware of the assignment God has us on? I know we're all looking for a call, right? Okay, I'm called to be a pastor. You've got gifts that you use in whatever career that you're involved in and the volunteer stuff that you do, and you give your gifts back to God. And so you know some of the assignment that you're on. Are we ever unaware of the assignment God has us on? Does that ever happen? I think it absolutely does. In fact, I think that when we get to the other side, we're going to be amazed at what our assignment really was. There's the assignment we thought we were on, and then there was the assignment we were on. And there will be a lot of people who, like in Naomi's day, There were a lot of wealthy people, a lot of people who were healthy their whole long life. They lived a long time. Their kids were all good. And, you know, they really did well. Do you know any of their names? No. No, Naomi may have suffered more than most any of the others, but she's the one that we know. In fact, who was the high priest in Naomi's day? You remember him? Well, nobody does. In fact, at the beginning of the book, it says, in the time of the judges. Which judge? Was it Gideon? May have been Samson. Samuel? We don't know. We don't even know who the judge was at the time. We don't know any of those people that had a pretty decent life. But we know Naomi. Naomi took a leap, and God caught her, because God always provides. And there may be something in your life that really irritates you that might actually be the very reason you're here. You may end up taking care of your in-laws in their latter days. You know, that's a funny thing when you're, well, Dave's engaged here, so you can be dismissed for a minute. I don't want to dampen your parade at all. But I mean, you meet these people. You love their kid, but these people are strange. And, you know, you kind of take that with a grain of salt. Yeah, yeah, we're family. Okay, uh-huh. And, you know, then, I don't know, 50 years later, you're changing their diaper. And you're thinking, this isn't what I thought of when we got married. I wasn't planning on this at all. And they didn't really like me, and now I'm taking care of them. And, you know, welcome to life 101. But that may be the greatest reward you receive in heaven, is when your in-laws were frail, you stepped up. When your spouse got sick, when your company went under, when your brother-in-law was destitute, yeah, he annoyed the bejiggers out of me. Yeah, but you helped him, and you were there for him. You did the Christian thing. Are we ever on an assignment we're unaware we're on assignment? In fact, we probably think that we're being tortured. We probably think the enemy, the devil, is dogging our trail and he's having his way. Little do we know, it's our finest hour. I don't know, I think a finest hour, victory parade, you know, brrr, yay. Not a funeral procession, not a court order, not a bad report from a doctor. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous person. They are ordered of God. Probably if you'd have said that to Naomi in the middle of her stuff, she'd have slapped you. But it was still true. It was true for Naomi. It's true for you. Your life is not an accident. Stop it with all these woe me's and regrets and I shouldn't have and I wish I had rather and I probably could have. Let's face it, many things are outside our control. Couldn't do a thing about it. But nothing is beyond God's reach. He can use it. He can do it. Aren't people weird? Last night I was watching some of the Kansas City game. And I had to turn off the pregame because it was making me so cold. They said it was 24 below wind chill. And I was sitting there on the couch with my little Yorkie curled up next to me with a blanket on, and I had the fireplace on. I was still cold because I was showing the wind blowing and this and that. And they got these idiots out there with these signs, we're not cold, you know. And then the guys out there with their bare arms out on the field. I had to wait till the game started because then they stopped talking about how cold it was there, you know. Can you imagine paying a couple thousand bucks to sit up in on the top of those bleachers where the wind chill factor is minus 27 degrees. You're paying for this. They won't even deliver peanuts up to you. Hey, peanut guy, I forget you, you know.
Oh, man, I got to get up for work tomorrow. I'm going to get out of my warm bed and crawl into my heated car with the heated leather seats and drive over there and have my coffee break to start. And,
how crazy we are. Nobody gets through easy or safe. We all get wounded. We all get wounded. And the wounds become the break in the soil where God can plant the most precious of seed, from which can grow what we never expected to be a part of, but was really the reason we're here. So may God be glorified. When it turns dark, and when the wind kicks up, and when everything we worked for falls apart right in front of us, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm just here to encourage you. Keep walking. Keep walking straight. I know the devil's got a lot of shortcuts and everybody else has fallen off the rails and they've given up. And though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I have no plan B. I'm not getting out of this thing. I'm not going to give up. They can burn me at the stake if they want to, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They can foreclose on our home. Everybody else can do better in life. That's all right. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. So I know I'm talking to a couple Naomis and Ruths today. It hasn't gone the way you were hoping it would. There are a couple mysteries in your life. You don't know why you're struggling with this when you're the nicest person you know. Or close to it. But God's got a plan. God will provide everything you need. You don't have to be worried or afraid. And when you get to the other side and find out, can you imagine Naomi getting to the other side and saying, "Really? I had no idea. Wow. I wished I'd have known that." But the fact that she didn't but stayed faithful, see, that's why she'll get to the other side and be able to rejoice and celebrate. The first will be last, and the last will be first. So as driven down as you might become in this life, rejoice. Your redemption draweth near. You may not get out of this world being able to walk. You will leap and run and dance and joy on the golden streets of heaven. Hallelujah. You might be the last person standing in your family on this side, so lonely, so dark. Oh, the reception you will receive on the other side. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Would you stand with me? Let's sing about the goodness, the faithfulness of our God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my With every breath that I am able, oh, I of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
I want to express to you how proud I am of so many of you. You could actually put Naomi to shame for the things you've suffered in your life. Loved ones that you have buried, things that you have endured, and you're still here. God bless you. God bless you. We're among royalty this morning. We're in good company. We have friends that have followed the Lord through thick and thin, and I'm proud of you. Widows, those who've had your husbands walk away, different things that have gone, financial reversals, no fault of your own. God bless you. The Lord loves you. The Lord honors you. The enemy might try to discourage you. I want you to know the Father is proud of you. On the other side, you'll see that there was never a scar, never a wound that didn't bring him glory. And you will be rewarded in full. In fact, on the other side, we'll be glad that we suffered here. Here it hurts, but there it becomes a reward. So hang in there, my friends, my loved ones. Do keep on the straight and narrow. Keep following the Lord. Have no plan B. Don't let that even be a temptation to you. Well, I just give up. Well, I'll just this or that. No, there's no answer in a bottle. There's no answer in a pill. We just need to stay faithful. Just a few more weary days, and then we'll fly away. First class, all the way in forever. No sorrow, no pain, no heartache there. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden. We will dance on streets that are golden. Hallelujah. Father, I pray your richest blessings over these friends of ours, especially those who are feeling the pain keenly today of a choice that was made or something that was done. And the regret just seems to ache. And why? How did we end up in Moab anyway? And what if we'd have done this instead? And maybe I should have rather. And shut up. Shut up. Lord, we give you all of us. Our scars, our wounds, our mistakes, our victories. It's a package deal. And we know that salvation saves to the uttermost. Sins are forgiven. Guilt is gone. Reward awaits. So help us, Lord, to walk steady these last few steps that we have to take. Help us, God, to have faith and to know that it's better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The world's got nothing for me. I've got a home in glory land. Lord, remind us of these things, we pray. And strengthen those who are weak. May we have an eye when we see somebody shaking a little bit to help steady them and speak a good word of encouragement. That it won't be long now. It won't be long now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.